following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from New Hartford, Iowa. Participating in today's public affairs program is Darren Svensson of KDEC Radio in Decorah. Darren, go ahead with your first question.
Senator, elections were Tuesday, and it was obviously a very good night for the Republican Party taking over the Senate and expanding its hold on the U.S. House. That being said, with a Democratic president and a Republican Congress, how optimistic are you that some things can get accomplished in the next 2 years, or are we going to have another do-nothing Congress?
I can tell you exactly how the ball will be moved down the court. Whether the end product will be any different would be up to the president. But when I say move the ball down the court and then leave it in the president's hands, I mean that 380 bills have passed the House of Representatives and Reid has not brought them up in the United States Senate. The Senate is going to function a lot differently under a Republican majority than under Senator Reid. And the reason for that is there's an appreciation of the role of the Senate to actually do something. We have passed very little legislation. We haven't had sessions on Fridays. We don't have debate like we normally would because Reid files motions to stop debate, and we don't have amendments like we would normally have because Reid wants to control the amendment tree, and he does. So consequently, I'll just give you one figure. We've only had 18 roll call votes on amendments, and normally we would have well over 100 roll call votes. Maybe even 200 roll call votes by this period of time in a year. So Reid has tried to protect the president. A Republican Senate will move the ball down the road and then leave it up to the president. Does he want to accomplish something or not? What he'll sign and what he'll veto, I don't know.
Is repealing the Affordable Health Care Act on the agenda, or should it be?
Yeah, I think it should be on the agenda because Republicans have promised for so long because we voted against it. We think it gets the government too involved between the doctor and the patient. We think health insurance costs, premiums have gone up. People have lost their doctor. A lot of employers aren't offering health insurance that normally would offer health insurance. So we feel it's bad for the country, and I think we'll have a vote to repeal it. Now, if the president vetoes that, and I expect that he would veto it, we wouldn't have the two-thirds vote to override the veto. But since we made a promise in the election that we were at least going to bring it up for a vote, I think we have a responsibility to do it.
What about putting forth an alternative to the Affordable Health Care Act? Because it's one thing to repeal what is on the books. It's another thing to put an alternative out there. And frankly, Republicans haven't been united in an alternative. Should Republicans put an alternative out there to the Affordable Health Care Act?
We haven't been able or had a necessity to show that we were united in an alternative because Reid wouldn't let us bring it up even if we did. But there are alternatives out there. Senators Burr and Coburn have an alternative as an example. But I'll give you some parts of what we would do, not a entire list. We would have insurance across state lines be sold. Presently, that's prohibited. Lawsuits drive up the cost of medicine 10 or 15%. We would have medical malpractice reform. We would have more emphasis upon health savings accounts. We would boost state risk pools. And things like that is what we would do. And I want you to know very definitely, because your question was about repeal, we would never say just repeal. And that'd be like saying the healthcare system didn't need any changes whatsoever. And it's not a perfect system. We do need changes. We need emphasis upon people that don't have insurance, but we shouldn't mandate people to buy something they don't want. We shouldn't have the government dictating the kind of insurance policies that ought to be out there so that people can't afford them, they lose them, and we would then say repeal and replace.
Yesterday, when the president had his news conference after the election, he stated that he would still consider executive order action in regards to the immigration issue Is that a line in the sand being drawn in your mind, or should Republicans and the president get on the same page to help solve this issue that everybody wants solved?
The latter should be the situation, but I'll bet that it won't be. I'll bet the president will go ahead in a non-constitutional way, and we will probably then pass legislation to override it. But he shouldn't do it in the first place, because it's going to poison the waters between the White House and the Congress. There's no reason to do that. He should do like President Clinton did after the 1994 Kerry sweep by the Republicans to take over both houses of Congress. President Clinton started working with Republicans, and we had a lot of changes made. Just name a couple. We had a big tax cut. We had welfare reform, get 40% of the people off the welfare rolls. President Obama ought to do the same thing. And if he did, he'd have a great deal of accomplishment.
What right now is something that Republicans and Democrats can unite in an idea to move forward and get to the president's desk? What, if there is one agenda right now that could do that, or one item on an agenda that could do that, what would that be?
Okay, I'll give you two or three. I'm not sure the president would sign them, but they have bipartisan support in the Congress. One, the XL pipeline, I think has 62 votes, could pass. The repeal of the tax on medical devices would have 72 votes. That obviously would pass. That one could even be overridden if there's a congressional veto. I think we could have corporate tax reform because the president said that he did want corporate tax reform. And I believe that we could probably make some changes in Obamacare that he could agree to, because he's made 38 changes himself by executive action. Some of them are probably illegal or unconstitutional, but he still went ahead and did it.
You got new colleagues in the Iowa congressional delegation. I'm sure you're all familiar with one. You're definitely familiar with David Young, your former staffer. Rod Blum going to D.C. for the first time, and Joni Ernst is going to be your colleague in the Senate. How do you feel those folks will handle D.C.? How can you, as the senior senator from this state, get them prepared for what they need to do?
Well, let me tell you what I've offered in 2 days, and this isn't offering much, but I'll give them any advice they want. I'm not going to force myself upon them, but any sort of help they want out of my office. They won't have an office of their own for quite a while yet. I would lend each of them a conference room that I have, a telephone, any sort of advice and help that they need, and I would help them try to find staff if they wanted me to. Beyond that, I think each of them are very, very capable individuals. David Young, my chief of staff for 7 years, working side by side with me, he's ready to go to work on day one. Mr. Blum showed Washington, D.C. That he could run a campaign a long time before his election. He was raising so much money, and because he's a successful businessman, he was able to show management skills on setting up a campaign staff. And about a month ago, he got the attention of people in Washington just because of his hard work. And he got a lot of help from Washington that normally a district with 23,000 more Republicans than Democrats, you'd never expect a Republican to win in. And he worked hard and won. And I think that there's not much I can do to tell a successful businessman how to be a good public servant. And then in the case of Joni Ernst, she can speak for herself. She just ran a marvelous campaign, and she's anybody who can be a soldier leading 155 members of a company over in Iraq during the war. I don't think anybody can tell her how to run a senatorial office. I just simply would preach to them the principle of representative government. They and I are one half of the process of representative government. Our constituents are the other one half. And it's our responsibility to promote dialogue between those of us elected and those that we serve, so we can be a true representative of the people. If you're going to be such a true representative, you've got to know where your constituents stand. And I think they've seen me do that for 34 years, and they've each said that I'm a pattern or an example for them, and if they follow me, they'll be successful members of Congress.
Thank you, Darren, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.